Assess Matt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We're going to go a bunch of different directions today. Goody at the movies because it is Monday after Oscars. And then Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. Eric is out at the Brewers camp today working on something for the TV show. Robert Sarver sent down a letter about 30 minutes ago that is really interesting. I'm going to dissect that some. The Diamondbacks made a good move over the weekend. The combine is just finishing up, and I've been like you guys. I'm sure a lot of you sat there and watched guys run and run and run and run. I was more interested on the local guys, and boy, Christian Westerman just killed it if you're a Sun Devil fan, and DJ Foster killed it. I think both Sun Devils did very, very well for themselves at the combine. I know that Christian cramped up, but shoot, you're the number one overall guy in terms of the bench. 225 pounds, 34 times. The record was 49 reps until he cramped up. I'll take that. And DJ ran a 4.57 in the 40, and he was first in the 20-yard shuttle. So both players acquitted themselves very nicely at the combine. We'll go into the combine a little bit further as the show moves along today. I watched the Warriors on Saturday night, and really the sports story of the weekend across the country has to be Golden State. The ratings were the highest that they've had for a regular season game on a Saturday night on ABC. It's actually a regular season game since 2013. That was the most watched game. And I was in Tucson. I was coming back listening to it. And then I watched it when I got home. I was down there doing some stuff. And the Warriors sounded like that they were out of it. Tim Roy, their play-by-play guy, used to be here in Phoenix. Great guy. And he had the sound in his voice. You can tell guys that are doing the play-by-play. Guys like Al McCoy, you can tell within, I don't know, a minute or so if the Suns are getting their heads kicked in again. I was listening to Al a little bit on Saturday night. The Suns somehow, some way, managed to screw things up by winning a game. That's not what you're supposed to be doing at this point in time of the year. You're chasing the number one overall pick. But I was watching Golden State when I got home, and then I heard about the Draymond Green drama that we're going to get into. And is this something to be concerned about if you're a Warriors fan as they chase the best record in the history of the NBA in the regular season? We're watching history right now. And so I was pulled all over the place. Yeah, I watched the combine. I was at the combine. I'd seen enough combine. I did watch Sergio Garcia play with both hands around his neck, which is never a good thing when you're trying to win on the PGA Tour. And Adam Scott won yesterday. I found some time to win that. And I did see where the Cavaliers are showing a little bit of, is it just the end of February and who cares? They've lost three or four. There are really some issues going on there. And is Toronto the better team? So, and Tom Brady got an extension this morning. Peyton's expected to retire this week, if I believe what's going on up in Denver in the Denver Post. So there's a ton going on. There's even some college basketball I want to get into that U of A has lost their mojo somewhere along the way. And I've got some thoughts on Sean Miller. You get swept by Colorado and Utah. You look pretty ordinary in the process. And I thought he did the old trick of, I'm going to put all the pressure on me and go after this court storming stuff and take the pressure off my players. Everybody's going to talk to me. We don't want to talk about how we lost to Colorado. And instead, his team gets their head kicked in on Saturday at Utah. And they have Cal this week. So there's a lot going on. But let's start first. Is the combine still going on? I don't want to jump too far ahead on that. Robert Sarver wrote an open letter this morning. And it's addressed to Suns fans, and I had some people that got it over to me. And as someone who grew up, Suns fans it starts with. And remember, this follows the Suns winning a game that they just should not have won in any way, shape, or form on Saturday night. A complete blowing of trying to get the number one pick. As someone who grew up a Suns fan, I have great appreciation and respect for the unwavering loyalty this community possesses for its first professional sports team. Meaning, we're here before anybody else. It's great. Yeah, there's a lot of passion. With the loyalty comes fair expectations that the Suns compete at a high level on a regular basis while representing our city with the utmost integrity. We have not lived up to either of these expectations in the last two seasons, in the past two seasons. Candidly, we have not lived up to these expectations in the last two seasons. So integrity, when we go back to the Markieff Morris stuff and things off the court, He's trying to address it there without using names. One thing I've learned through both business success and setbacks is that victory is impossible without a culture of accountability, respect, and truth. As a team woven into the city's fabric, these principles must serve as a foundation for what our team, organization, and brand stand for. All employees of our organization, including the players, will be held to those standards. Okay, that shouldn't have to be addressed in an open letter to anybody. Again, this letter came out about a half hour ago, so I'm reading it for the first time. First reaction is always the best reaction, rather than me saying, well, I'm going to break this apart. No, let's just go through this. I've also learned that in order to achieve success, you must take along the you must take risks along the way. In time, certain risks will ultimately look like mistakes. It didn't take too long into my NBA tenure as an owner to understand that basketball decisions are not easy to make. It is my responsibility to hire the right personnel to make those decisions and also to provide the financial resources, supportive environment to facilitate the success of our team. Here's the stuff that you're going to want to hear about. Our basketball decisions rest with Ryan McDonough, who I have full confidence in. Okay, so at the end of February, he is saying Ryan is our guy. Not every decision will be the right one, but he will continue to build our team around the young, talented players acquired through the draft and opportunistically in free agency. The best team in the NBA right now is a perfect example of that model. So he's not saying the Warriors, but here's what he is seeing. That said, we will likely miss the NBA playoffs for a sixth straight season. Likely? You have the third worst record. It's not likely. We are going to miss the playoffs for the sixth straight season. Many of you are disappointed in that lack of success and for good reason. Now, the Suns had their big Suns gala over the weekend too, which is great. It gets sponsors revved up. I know a couple of the sponsors that were there. They're not happy with how things are going, but nonetheless, they're signed to long-term deals. What are they going to do? I can assure you that no one is more disappointed than I am, nor does anyone accept more of the blame. It's important you know that we will not rest until we are competing at the highest level once again. In fact, we have swung for the fences once in each of the last few free agency periods with my full support. While we've come up short, we have not compromised our goal of building long-term success with our young talent. Often that process takes more time, yet the rewards are much sweeter and more enduring. So, and that's up. The Sun sent this out. It's sent to you fans. There's a lot of you that are just done with them. You'd rather me talk about the combine or anything other than the Suns. I get it. But I'm not that way because I care about that organization. I care about that brand. It is embarrassing. When I see what it once was, it's turned into this just afterthought over on the side of the street, which should never be the case. It's been left in neglect. Now, I posted this about a half hour ago, the whole letter, if you want to read it, up on sports360az.com. You want to check it out? Check it out. And so far, the response that I'm getting from most everybody is nice thoughts, rather have him in person at a press conference. That would be something that you'd have to have the right people there to hold the feet to the fire and not just ask the softball questions or have the phone call coming towards this media organization or that media organization because they're too tied in with the team. It goes on in this day and age. You have broadcasting rights agreements. You have people that have compromised their integrity, in my opinion, their journalistic integrity by just turning the other cheek and looking the other way and saying all is well because, hey, we got to get a media buy out of the deal. Or they get tickets to games and they don't want to, cut that off. At some point, you got to step up and you got to look it in the eye and say, no, this is just another, this does not say we have removed Lon Babbie. This does not say that we have, Ryan is on a short leash and we'll evaluate at the end of the season. Doesn't say anything about the coach. We will likely miss the NBA playoffs for a sixth straight season. So now I could just ignore this and go back to the combine. I probably will here in a second. The journey back to the top certainly won't, I've missed this part. The journey back to the top certainly won't be easy. It will come with its victorious moments and its frustrating ones, but it will come just as it did shortly after I acquired the team when we rebuilt from a 29-win season in 2003-04. So now we're going all the way back to, yeah, I acquired the team in what, 11 years ago. People don't care about 11 years ago. They don't. They just know that it's six straight years of missing the postseason. Please know that above all else, you have my word that we will do things the right way, and you and your family will be proud to be Suns fans. It's why we are PAX. So there it is. Okay, just so we're clear that we did address it here on the show. Now let's move on to brighter things. Well, actually, one last thought here. So they win a game over the weekend against Memphis. It hurts their chances of getting the number one overall pick. You know, it's fine. They go to Charlotte tomorrow. They play at Miami, which will be a lot of fun because Joe Johnson's going to be there. And that was a mistake. Yeah, I'm going to go back on history if they're going to go back on history. That was a mistake. And Gorin's going to be there, and that was a mistake. And then they play at Orlando later this week. Channing's no longer at Orlando, so move on from there. Really frustrating. Over to the Diamondbacks, and then we'll get to Goody at the Movies. They start playing this week. They made a signing on Saturday, guys. I know that people have said, hey, their bench is not what it needs to be. They signed Ricky Weeks. And Ricky Weeks, it's a good veteran guy, I think. I think it's a veteran bat that's versatile. Look, at Milwaukee, he was a second baseman. For a long time, he was a second baseman. In Seattle, he played in the outfield. And I think the biggest concern I've heard from Diamondback fans is, well, do we have enough on the bench with this team? And so they're looking around at some veteran guys, and I'm fine with Ricky Weeks. I think this is a good pickup for them. I like that. Tom Brady gets a two-year extension. We'll see about Peyton Manning. And Jonathan Jones at the combine this morning ran 4.28. Wow. Wow. Today is the last day of the combines with the DBs running. Next, the Oscars last night. So Goody, I was following him on Twitter. We were going back and forth on some stuff. And we'll talk with Bill Goodykunz next, the Oscar recap. Stallone's pissed. The movie was okay. I didn't think it was great. The way that Chris Rock handled everything. Well, I'll get into with Bill. That's coming up next. And then all the political stuff and Joe Biden showing up. And it is kind of just like all over the place. That's next. And Paula Bove. And we're going to talk about the Suns letter, I'm sure, with Paula. And much more as we continue on. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, and the Oscars was last night, and everybody's talking about the Oscars from last night, and the Combine, too. I don't think they're talking much about Robert Sarver's letter, but we'll get back into that with Paula here in a few minutes. A special Monday appearance by Bill Goodykunz, Goody at the Movies. Did you make deadline last night?
Well, I made deadline because they extended deadline. The editors wisely decided that we needed to, and thank heavens they did this, we needed the winner, the big winners in. But they did that maddening thing where the show is 3 hours and 36 minutes, and the top four awards were given out in the last 15.
Well, you had the Minions. Come on. I was thinking of you, and it's like the Minions are dancing, and Bill's just got to be going crazy right about now.
Well, I love Chris Rock. I thought he was great, but that Girl Scout thing was killing me. And for two reasons. One is my 10-year-old daughter is selling Girl Scout cookies, too. And we are not going to be selling $65,000 worth of cookies, I can tell you. But the, somebody on Twitter. I put that they had the over on how many times I would mention deadline in the Oscars to them. I'm sure I helped him win.
So Chris Rock, let's get into him. At first, I was laughing hysterically, and I thought, okay, that's it. The rest of the night is not going to be anything that great. And then I thought he only got better. The sketches were pretty darn good. A couple of them failed, but that's going to happen in 3 hours and 30 minutes in my mind. What do you think of Chris Rock?
And that's what happens with stand-ups, too. I mean, they put it all out there, and some of it works, some of it doesn't. He's a great stand-up. I thought he was great. I thought the first monologue was terrific. I thought that and I've read some criticism where he's like, well, he's trying to have it both ways. He's trying to. I didn't get that at all. I felt like he was really impassioned. That stuff about, you go back and look at it today, that stuff about, people say, well, why didn't you boycott all this stuff in the 60s? You know what? When your grandmother's swinging from a tree, it's kind of hard to care about the best documentary short.
Yep.
You know, we had bigger fish to fry. And that, I mean, it was, it's kind of funny and it's really sad and it's the truth. And it's, I mean, what else do you want?
It was smart, Bill. Bill, it was smart, I thought. That was very smart.
He's a really smart comic. But I said, you know, what more do you want? I'll tell you what some people want is just movies and not to talk about social issues. But to do that this year would have been outrageous. I mean, because the two things happened, I think, conspired to sort of make this happen. Conspired makes it sound like there was a plan. There wasn't. But for the second year in a row, all white nominees for the acting category. And no real, even the spotlight upset The Revenant for Best Picture, which I thought was great. I was happy to miss that on my card. But there was not a bunch of burning competitions this year. You know what I mean? I mean,
sure.
Most of them kind of felt decided early. So there was a sort of a vacuum there to fill for another story, and this really filled it.
Well, who can do what Chris Rock did? Who can host next year and top that? That's
well, you
my
don't,
thing.
Next year is going to be different. I mean, you don't have to top it. You just got to do your own thing. Next year, I would bet you that next year people of color will be nominated in the acting categories. Just a guess here. But I also think that, you know, that person has to do the next thing. And it'll be some kind of controversy about a movie, or it'll be we will have a new president then.
That's true.
And that came in for a little bit of stuff last night, but not that much. But it'll be something will go on next year. Something always does. The thing that I thought was, like, I thought the last time Chris Rock hosted, he was okay. He wasn't great. I love Jon Stewart. The couple times he hosted, not great. It's a really intimidating job, I think, because you're sitting there with every movie star you ever grew up looking at you in the face, and you're making jokes about them. I think that really awes a lot of people. But I think you could tell last night, as soon as he told the first couple jokes, it got a good reaction, and he started laughing. It's like, well, it's on now. You know, now he's fearless. Now he's going to do whatever he set out to do.
Yeah, he went after Kevin Hart, which was fine, and you know. Joe Biden showing up. What did you make out of Biden showing up?
I saw a funny thing on Twitter that said, you remember when he was sort of hemming and hawing about whether he'd run for president? And it said, somebody called him in a room and said, you can do two things. You can either run for president or you can introduce Lady Gaga at the Oscars, but you can't do both. And he said, okay, I've made my decision.
That's good.
It was fine. I thought that was a nice moment. It was certainly powerful when the survivors of abuse came out on the stage with her. I don't understand. There's a lot of stuff I don't understand about the Oscars, and I haven't seen a good explanation for it. If they're going to do the nominated songs, why not do all five and not have the Minions? I mean, then we did three of the top five.
It's the Minions, Bill. This isn't that hard. I can tell. It's the Minions. Minions stop but, people. I mean, I think the Minions, actually, I was looking at the clock, and I'm thinking, okay, Gaga's got to hit at 9 o'clock because it's the start of a new hour and people are not going to turn the channel for when Lady Gaga's on. I think the Minions hit at 8 o'clock. It's the Minions.
I'm in Denver at a volleyball tournament, but I am picturing you wearing a Minions t-shirt.
But seriously, I'll get into from this standpoint. When Lady Gaga came out to sing, I'm with my wife, I'm with my 22-year-old. They're both bawling. Okay, that moment pushed them. They're not jaded, cynical, beat up, whatever term you want to use with me from seeing this stuff through the years. So I'm bouncing some things off them. I'm looking at them and saying, wow, okay, they are glued to this right now. They're really into Mad Max. Why did you go see Mad Max? I had no desire to see Mad Max. Did you think Mad Max would do that well?
I didn't think it would do that well. I thought of, you know, remember early on there was talk that it might win Best Picture. It won for New York Film Critics Circle, and George Miller won for director. And I'll say this, and this is on Twitter a lot, but I 100% agree with it. That's the after party I would like to have gone to, wherever those nuts went, for those people that won, because they were already having a good time.
Yeah.
But the movie is that you really should see the movie. The movie's like that. It's just unhinged and fun, but also it's kind of about something. And I was happy to see it do so well. But, you know, you're right. And it did really well with young women, which is not what you would think. You know, you think of big actions like teenage boys or something. But, no, in this case, it really did do well. I don't know. I've gotten to the point, and you know this from working in sports. And when I worked in sports, I love sports. I love triple overtime games. I want Monday Night Football to last when I'm a kid as long as it can, so I can stay up as late as I can. But as soon as you start covering sports, that goes away. You want the game decided at halftime, so you know what you're going to do. You don't want any surprises. And that's how this is. I think that if it hadn't gone on so long, I probably would have enjoyed the show as a show. As you say, I don't think everything hit, and I don't think they needed everything. But I thought overall, he set such a good tone for it that, and I really like the thing where they had the black actors inserted into the white movies.
Yeah, no, that was funny.
I thought that's it. And the best, of course, was that they reshot some of the stuff for The Martian. And that was Jeff Daniels was like, but think of the outcrop. We spent white dollars on this.
Yeah, that was
white dollars?
White dollars, yeah. That was funny. Before I let you go, we're talking with Bill Gutekunst's Oscar recap from last night. Okay, what does this mean for DiCaprio moving forward now that he finally has got one in the bag?
Well, if history's any indication, that means he'll make a string of crappy movies. I hope that's not the case. So, these guys go into these. That actually happens more with supporting categories, I guess. I think DiCaprio's in a position now where he can write his own ticket. I mean, I always joke around when I talk to these actors, because they are even the ones that are pretty famous are still working actors. They still have to take jobs they don't want,
right?
Because they have to pay mortgages too. Now, granted, their mortgages are a lot more than yours and mine, but I always joke that you're sitting up there in your mansion and you have a servant who reads your script, and if you don't like it, you just say, throw it on the fire. Not many people have that. I think DiCaprio at this point probably does.
Okay, Spotlight winning, and for our industry, yeah, for our industry, which has taken tons of body blows, and rightly so in a lot of places, is this going to be something that you think will be a bit of a resurgence that people will look at? Our industry, whether it doesn't matter what platform we're on now, in this day and age where I'm doing multiple platforms, it's not just a newspaper, but do you think that there's going to be some people that look at our industry a little differently and say, you know what, if they put the resources and put the right people into it, yeah, it was a movie, but the people went out and did the work that needed to be done. Is this good for our industry? Is this just, it won Best Picture and that's it?
Good for about 5 minutes, I think. I've seen a lot of stuff on Facebook and Twitter from editors that are like, oh, this is so important. This is so important to us and all that. The problem with that is not that many people have seen the movie. And some of the people who are saying now, this is great, this reaffirms the importance of journalism in our society, they're the people who the next day are going to say, well, this feature didn't get enough hits, so
that's
we're going to have to kill it.
No, that's true.
I mean, I wish, I hope. But you know what? If it gets two or three good stories, great stories like that done, then that's fine.
Well, I would agree with you on that, because at the end of the day, for many media companies, I'm one of those, I tell my guys, I don't care how many clicks you get. I don't care. And we're doing this for 4 years now. Go chase good stories. Go do it. Go chase it. Don't sit there and ask the question, wow, boy, if I go do this, only 10 people or 10,000 people or 100,000 people are going to look at this. That's what's killed off most of our industry.
I think you're right. I think it's trying to guess what people want, and there's no guessing what people want. One of the reasons people in traditional media turned against traditional media is they got tired of people on high saying that we will decide what you need. The whole online movement is based on we'll give you a lot, you decide. But I think it's swinging back around now that people are so scared that something won't get clicks that they've gotten back to that we're going to decide what you get. And I think that's going to be the demise in the end.
Yeah, we'll see. I appreciate your time and insight. Thanks.
Thank you.
It's Bill Gutekunst, Goody at the Movies, with the Oscars from last night. Paula Bovin is next, our weekly Monday segment with Paula, and we're going to get back to this Robert Sarver letter that came out today, and the start of spring training games this week for the Diamondbacks, the Combine, and a few other things on my mind with Paula. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
So I was rereading this Robert Sarver letter that was sent out this morning, and we'll bring Paula on board here. The line of, we will likely miss the NBA playoffs for a sixth straight season. I had to go look at the standings. So they're 38 and a half games out of first place, but they're only 14 games out of first place. And there's what do we have? 59 games. So there's 21 games left. No, you're not likely going to miss the NBA playoffs for a sixth straight season. So just have to be clear on that. Here is Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports columnist. Where do you want to start with? Do you want to start with this letter? Do you have something else in your wheelhouse from the weekend in sports? It was not an overly big Phoenix weekend, but there's a lot of interesting things out there. Where do you want to go?
No, let's start with this letter because I was listening to you on the way home and I just heard about it. And, you know, the first thing that jumped out at me was that likely thing when I was listening to you talk about it earlier. That's kind of a dumb thing to have in a letter like this. You know, unless it was written 2 months ago and they forgot to send it out or something, that's just a little bizarre to me.
What would cause the owner to do this? What would cause the owner to write a letter like this rather than, hey, we're going to have Robert available and he's going to sit in front of cameras and he's going to answer all questions and we're going to do it at noon and we're going to make this available versus doing this letter? What would the point of this letter be?
Oh, because absolutely he can control the narrative, as they like to say. It would be him getting his points across without feeling words were getting misconstrued, maybe not having to answer the tough questions. Hey, I don't fault him for writing the letter. I think it's a nice letter, and I think there's a sort of a humility in that that fans need to see from him, and I think it comes across. And so, you know, I think I think it's all about realizing that fans are just disgusted right now, and this is one step in trying to, you know, show that they're human a little bit.
He writes, "Our basketball decisions rest with Ryan McDonough, who I have full confidence in. Not every decision will be the right one, but he will continue to build our team around the young, talented players acquired through the draft." So he's saying Ryan's our guy, but he's saying it on February 29th.
Right.
Do you believe that in 2 months that Robert Sarver could change his mind? I sure do. And there's no mention of Lon Babbie in here at all, which it would be nice if there was just a line that said, Lon is no longer with us in the organization. We wish him well. But he's gone underwater.
Right.
So,
right.
Do you feel like that this is Ryan's ship, or do you still have kind of the hairy eyeball look at this thing? Like, I don't know.
My understanding is Robert really respects Ryan. And so I think he wants this relationship and Ryan's role with the team to work. And so he's giving it still some time. And I think, you know, him doing this in the letter is yet another way of sort of fending off the questions, at least for now. I still believe whether they keep McDonough or not, I think they need someone else in there, whether it's in Lon's place, some kind of title of personnel, but some person in there that really can connect with the athletes. Because there is clearly some issue there between the players and, you know, Sarver and McDonough, and to a certain extent it was with Hornacek,
Blanks,
too. And Blanks. I mean, they need somebody who, whatever reason, and you can point to a million reasons, kind of has their ear and has their respect. And it doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be someone that's going to tell these players they're right all the time, but someone where these players can, in a high level, can feel like they connect with. I don't think they have that with McDonough right now.
Okay, so he doesn't address the coach situation at all. And
right.
Look, it wouldn't be beyond Robert to say, no, we're going to keep him in place and he'll be our guy permanently. It would not make any sense at all to me in any way, shape, or form. Nothing personal. Back to your comment about having that name, that person in the front office that can connect with the players. Paula, that's got to be somebody that connects with the fans.
No, sure.
It's got to be somebody that people look at and say, that's a credible person.
Right.
You know, Jeff was a credible
person. I agree, but I think the players part of it is even more important because fans can stand bad owners or you know, not have a great relationship with owners if they're winning, if they're having success. And they've got to get somebody in there who is going to, you know, make sure and help the process of making sure these players are playing as hard as they can. And also, you know, with the personnel decisions. So, I get what you're saying, but I really believe winning cures a lot of ills. And you know, I believe if they started winning, they could love Sarver in a year. But they just have to win, and it's just not happening right
well,
now.
Well, look, I'll agree with you that winning is a cure-all in this market. Okay, if this is
right.
Philadelphia, they just crush the guy. But I don't live in Philly. I live in Phoenix. I also know the brand value of the Suns, and I'm one of the few that has sat here for the last 5 years saying this is wrong, this isn't right, but at least I care. I may be kicking them when they're down, but at least I'm kicking them consistently. And when they play well, I've praised them consistently. That's my whole thing. Bring the sledgehammer, bring the fly swatter. Have their back when you see things going on in the community where people say, hey, they should have kept Amari. No, they shouldn't have kept Amari. Amari's knees were shot. They got him out of here just in time. And Robert was dead flat right on that. This letter to me just screams of, we had our big Suns Jubilee celebration over the weekend. So sponsors are excited. Season ticket holders were there. We've got to get renewals. Let's send this out as a follow-up. We won a game against Memphis, which was probably the worst thing that could have happened. They're that much further away from the number one, the chance of the number one overall pick. That's how I take this. I don't know if I'm making too much out of a letter from an owner, but I'm really passionate about this today.
No, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but again, I think a lot of it is sort of what I was saying before. It's about starting to control the narrative of what people are going to be talking about and trying to win people over. And I think it's important that Robert, and I think he has, and I mentioned this before in the past, that people who say Sarver doesn't want to win is crazy. He wants to win. But I don't think people have sort of seen this side of him, this sort of humility and things like that. I think that's part of this letter, too. So I don't know what will become of it, but I think it's just a step in a process of rehabilitating their image, and that's where they are now.
He called you, right, a couple of weeks ago, I think you told.
He did.
Yeah, and he wasn't happy about something you wrote?
Right. He didn't agree with my, they're using Hornacek as a scapegoat article, but he was... As I mentioned, he was very nice about it. He said, hey, this is my point. I want to make my point. I don't agree with it, blah, blah, blah. So, it was good. It was nice to have that kind of conversation with him.
And you wrote 2 weeks ago on a Sunday that they should tank and go after the kid from LSU, Ben Simmons.
No, I didn't say they should tank. I said we should cheer for them to lose. I think there's a difference.
There's a difference. Okay. No,
That they shouldn't try hard and play hard, but as a fan, you should hope that even their hardest efforts isn't good enough. That was my message.
You're right. And I didn't mean to put words in your mouth. I apologize.
Okay, that's okay.
but what they did on Saturday night against Memphis was just, I'm just screaming as I'm driving up from Tucson, like, lose. You guys get what you're doing. Nobody cares about winning a game against Memphis in February. It only hurts your chances of getting that higher pick. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And, I mean, obviously they're battling with two other teams and they may end up with a third pick. But in the way of the current draft lottery, you still have a decent chance. And I would love for them to get Ben Simmons. I just think it would be a game changer for this organization.
Let me switch gears with you because we only have a couple minutes left. So Sean Miller goes on this rant about storming the court after they lose to Colorado. And I understand about the issue of storming the court. It felt to me a little bit like I'm going to take all the pressure off my team and I'm going to go after something that I know everybody's going to come after me with the white hot spotlight. And we're going to get this thing turned around for Utah. And then they go to Utah, and they didn't play much better. They're not very good defensively at all, and they're probably, Lenardi had them as a 6. Jerry Palm had them as a 6 before the weekend. They're probably an 8 seed. Was this a little bit of calculated decision-making, do you think, by Sean Miller to use us, take the pressure off his team after the loss to Colorado?
I don't think so. I think this is something that he is really sort of passionate about. And I've always sensed there's not a super great relationship between Arizona and the Pac-12 anyway. And he has always been willing to sort of step up and say what's on his mind. He's got the power to do so. He's one of the top coaches, not only in the conference, but I think in the country. And he knows his words will be heard. And so he's taken advantage of the pulpit there. But I don't think it was necessarily to deflect any kind of attention from his team, which you're right, Brad. I mean, classic 2 weeks ago column I wrote, they're turning things around. Here come the Wildcats. But at times they're not that good. You mentioned defensively, and sometimes they really lack that go-to guy. And it's, I've always seen such great leadership on this team in the past, but I have not seen that with the Wildcats this year.
No, there's no question. And they have Cal this week. And Cal has these three first-round NBA picks that at the start of the year, they weren't talking much about Cal.
Right.
And this could be a three-game streak pretty easily, in my humble opinion. And I look at the Pac-12. Pac-12, they're talking about six, seven teams getting in. Utah may be the team that is coming on the strongest. They've won six games in a row.
Right.
And in the tournament's next week. You're going to Vegas, right?
I am, yes.
Yeah, and Eric's going to be there. I'm going to take Vegas off this year. But I don't know how far U of A goes this year. To me, this looks like a season where there's going to be some people that aren't happy with the end result, because I don't see them getting their defensive issues turned around.
The U of A?
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
You were cut out. I apologize. You're probably right. I've seen this team, though, sometimes in the tournament, they can kind of kick it into gear. I think Miller has that talent. But they have shown issues on this team that I just haven't seen in a while. So I am not overly optimistic about their conference NCAA tournament chances.
Anything else on your mind today?
A couple weeks ago, even.
Yeah, anything else on your mind today?
No, that was it, Brad. I got a lot of basketball on my mind. I'm looking forward to that Pac-12 tournament. It's just, for me, it's the college basketball postseason is the best, but the Pac-12 tournament just kicks it off to a great start. So.
And this year,
anything could happen in there, I think.
All right, stay well. See you.
All right, Brad.
It's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist, my friend. On the other side, so I got to talk about Steph Curry and Draymond Green not wanting to come out of the locker room for the second half of that game Saturday night. That was about as entertaining a basketball game as I've seen in years and years. Got that on my mind. And a few other things as well. Sports360AZ.com. I posted the Sarver letter about an hour ago over on our website. Jared put it up, actually. And if you want to read it from start to finish and you have your own conclusions from it, most everybody is saying they'd rather see him talk in person than the notes that I'm getting than just some statement. We're back with more after this timeout. Tomorrow, Peter King is scheduled to be with us. Peter's in the news cycle today, actually. Peter may be jumping ship permanently over to NBC and take his whole Monday morning quarterback platform with him over there, which would be terrific for Peter. But we'll have Peter on to wrap up the combine. And the good thing about Peter is he doesn't go in as a draft nick. He looks at everything closely, and then he'll have his mock draft, and he'll be pegging it because most guys are going to feed it to him. So we'll have Peter with us tomorrow. Also, Derek Hall is going to be with us tomorrow about the Diamondbacks. I have a Diamondback story I'm going to get to in a minute involving your dogs, of all things, at the ballpark this year, I don't mean that disrespectfully. I kind of like this story, but I'll get to it in a second. So the Saturday night Golden State beating of Oklahoma City, while we have nothing to look at here that's interesting with the Suns at this point, other than a letter from the owner, I feel like when I'm watching Steph Curry play, I've never seen anybody like him. And when I say that, I don't know, Jared, if you want to jump in on this one too. When I'm watching Steph Curry on Saturday night and they are just launching, he's launching bombs. His zone is, I don't think your camera's in, his zone is, it's like right across the half court line where he'll come across the half court line. And if you're not there to grab him, to be in his face, then he's going to just launch from downtown. I'm seeing something out of him. Like when Magic Johnson played, he was the guy that brought Showtime like nobody brought Showtime. And guys older than me will say, well, you didn't see Oscar Robertson. No, you're right, I didn't. I didn't see Jerry West. No, you're right, I didn't. And then I saw Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan did these amazing fly through the air, acrobatic takeover game one-on-one. Steph Curry, nobody has ever done what Steph Curry does when he crosses the half court line. That's the thing that when I see him, it's, you guys got to watch this show, because every night it's as entertaining. He's come along. He's a once a generation player. And so when they're playing against Kevin Durant the other night, and look, Oklahoma City may be able to give Golden State some problems here in the postseason. They've had two very close games. They play one another this Thursday night up in the Bay Area, which I'm going to watch. I'm at that point now where it's like Greinke. I'm sitting there looking at the Diamondbacks counting, okay, every fifth day. Okay, he's going to pitch here. He's going to pitch opening day. He's going to pitch Saturday night against the Cubs. You know, and I make those plans in my head. When the Warriors play, I have to watch them play. Did you see them over the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see the the shot in real time. I saw the highlight of it, but I watched part of the game. Yeah. And anytime the Warriors are on television, I'm watching. And it's amazing because I have a lot of, you know, I went to U of A, and a lot of U of A people are college basketball fans and not necessarily NBA fans. But everyone,
well, they should be NBA fans the way the college team is this year, but go ahead.
But.
Yes.
But.
It was too easy.
The thing that they're all talking about the NBA, and some of these guys will preface, I hate the NBA, but Steph Curry is amazing.
You can't hate that.
No. It's unbelievable. And the thing is, I was describing, because I was with a couple people that didn't see the shot Saturday night, I was like, here's the three-point line behind me. You have a guy a foot in front of the three-point line ready to close out on Steph Curry as he's crossing half court, and he pulls up to where you still have to launch at him with your arm up to try to block a shot.
Yeah.
That is insane range, and it's so much fun to watch. It's great for the sport, and he's a special player to watch. I do put him in the Jordan category, maybe not necessarily of greatness all time yet, but of just guys that you need to just stop, watch, and appreciate how great they are, well, and take it all in as it comes.
When they were losing by 12, 4 minutes to go, and I'm listening to it on the Warriors broadcast on satellite. I'm coming back from Tucson, and I couldn't get home fast enough. Now I was able to watch the end of it, you know, on TiVo and all that stuff, DVR'd it, and as the game is coming back, they are relentless. And it's not just him. You know, Klay Thompson has big plays.
Andre Iguodala hits two free throws,
and he's a 67% free throw shooter with very little time, point something left on the clock just to get into OT. Draymond Green refused to come out of the locker room, though, at halftime. He took his shoes off because he was mad that Steve Kerr was calling him out. Evidently, this isn't the first time that that has happened with Draymond Green. And he didn't have a great offensive night, but he had a terrific defensive night, and he has a new contract. He had to be talked out of the locker room by Klay Thompson to come back on the court. Now, is this a problem between Steve Kerr and Draymond Green? Is this something where we're looking at the Warriors saying, well, this can't all be perfect. We have to find something wrong with them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't there. But all I know is I'm now in my sports calendar during the week. Like, U of A is playing Cal this week. I will watch that because Cal is really, really good. And I'm going to watch Golden
State. They're so up and down. And it should be – you never know what Cal team you're going to get. And if
you never know what U of A team you're going to get.
Well, exactly. But if you get the Cal team that showed up and beat U of A in Berkeley, then it's going to be a tough game for U of A because they didn't even have Tyrone Wallace in that game where U of A lost up there.
All right. You brought this up to me, and I saw it this morning. So we have some pictures. So the Diamondbacks – do you have dogs?
I grew up with dogs. I don't currently have one, but
I
will
have two girls. That's close enough.
I have two babies. So
two babies. That's close enough. Yeah.
I'll deal with that for now.
So the Diamondbacks guys are encouraging to bring your pets to the games. This is very smart. PetSmart and the Diamondbacks are going to have a season-long dog-friendly ballpark with a dedicated new PetSmart patio. Okay? PetSmart Park, Dog Days of Summer program. Dog-loving fans can bring their dogs to all 13 Sunday home games. Pet parents will be able to enjoy... I am reading this because it's great. Pet parents will be able to enjoy America's favorite pastime with their best friends at Chase Field. Now, Eric is a rescue dog guy. I wonder if... But he tells me his dogs are nightmares. We were over at his house. They weren't real bad, were they? I don't recall.
No, I think one of the dogs, I think, isn't. Might be a little
testy, a disaster,
but not a disaster.
I've got a dog that just won't shut up when the doorbell rings. Like, I just go to the doorbell and do it intentionally just to piss him off, you know?
Or are you pissing someone else off in the house?
Well, my wife. But
yes.
It's fine. No, but they're going to have a grassy play area. I just wonder if this Sunday is bringing your dog to the park, and then you take your kids down and they run the bases, right?
And bring the dogs with on a leash.
Somebody's going to bring the dog, and they're going to say, well, can't we bring the dog down? And no, you can't bring the dog down. I'm always one of those people that looks at that responsible pet owners take care of their business. Who's going to show up at the game and be like, oh, honey, look, there's a Goldschmidt home run, and hey, where's the dog?
Yeah, that's true. You're not really watching a baseball game when you bring your dog to the park.
No.
But this looks like a lot of fun. And I think people will have fun with it, and it'll be good for kids. I know my little girl is obsessed with dogs, so if I ever take her to a game, it'd be fun to take her by there.
They're not saying how big the dogs are. So what if you have like this mastiff that you show up with,
I
right?
I think that'd be better.
Like this horse that just kind of, you know, this big old, and you know, what if you bring in a certain breed that can be aggressive? If you bring in your little like dog that sticks in the purse thing that has no business
those
being.
Those dogs are normally more mean than mastiffs are.
No, that could be. It could be. anyways, this is actually happening. Do we have those schematics again? Can you throw those back up? So this is happening. This is not they might do it. This is happening this year with the Diamondbacks, that you're going to be able to bring your dogs to the game. So look forward to that. We'll have Derek Hall on tomorrow. And the dog days of summer Sunday home games is April 10th, and the Diamondbacks take on the Cubs. You know how crazy that's going to be out there? It's the Cubs on a Sunday, and you're going to be allowed to bring your dogs for the first time. There are going to be gobs of people, just gobs and gobs of dogs showing up.
Such a smart idea. It's so smart.
That is.
Give them a D-bat dog. See what happens.
Give them a churro dog, right? D-back dog. Get out of here. All right, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Lots of content up on our website, high school, college, pro college, high school. We have two shows that we're producing now on Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sussmatt Football AZ and Brad Sussmatt Baseball AZ around the Cactus League, both shows on Fox Sports Arizona, both air tomorrow night. Thanks for being with us.